So maybe Boris sounds like this.
He's
got more of an accent. More of an accent.
Well, more of an accent, but also very.
I am Boris Karloff. Was it like that accent?
Well, that's certainly one way you could go with
that's
it.
That's kind of a Bela Lugosi.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, of course.
I mixed them all up. I'm also a wolf man. Right? No, that's not it.
I think the Wolfman. Oh, but
he
should talk.
He
like
was
that.
The narrator. He was the narrator for the Grinch. So if you try to think of how,
yeah,
the Grinch,
okay,
narration.
And I am Boris Karloff. Well, it's not singing all the time, though, right? It's not, singing all the time.
It could be singing all the time. I don't see why it can't be singing all the time.
It could be.
I mean, I like to think he had a song in his heart, but I feel like that would be rough on the vocal cords long term, and his voice, you know, I just don't see it.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
And you're a nice one, Mr. Flinch.
You're a mean old son of a bitch.
And you're a good guy who will lend me $10 for your buddy Boros, who Boros. My wife.
We went from Boris Karloff to...
Oh, yeah, that's the voice. There it is.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Zero Issues
Comic Podcast.
This is your life, Boris Karloff.
Da, 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 da. Welcome, one and all, to this, the greatest show on earth. That's right, it's Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Your show of shows.
That's a truthful statement, and, you know, it's just a shame more people don't recognize that. Tell everyone that we're the greatest show on earth.
I did.
We're like a circus.
Yeah, I mean, you, the listener.
Without all the other stuff.
Or you,
oh,
Merc.
Right. Oh, right, them, yes. Or Merc, or Bri, or Kyle. The three of us. Yeah.
That's who we are.
Right.
We just need to speak with more confidence.
We do.
And not be afraid to interrupt each other.
Yeah.
No matter.
Everyone loves that.
What we do.
Anytime. just jump right in.
What are we doing this week?
We are doing a dramatic read. Which, yes. If you've listened to us at for any length of time, mm-hmm. we do this fairly frequently. Like
every, I'd say every 12
couple
to 13
months.
Episodes, yeah.
Something like that. Where we take an older comic, mm-hmm. not always, mm-hmm. but, and read
but
it out.
But we skewed that way for
character.
Copyright reasons.
Yeah, there's that.
Yes.
Although I don't think we could get sued for that. We're satirizing and we're taking it into a different media.
Yeah, and we don't make a profit off of this now.
Sure. Not at all.
No, but if you want that to change, you know, call us, email us.
Yeah, there's that.
Anyway, that's the call to action.
Please,
for this episode.
God, email us.
We each take like a character or whatever, two or three, and we each kind of act it out and play along with whatever's going on, and we'll describe what's going on because you can't see it. We're an audio podcast, although yes. We will put out visuals for this, which Bri will explain now.
It's just literally on the website. There'll just be a slideshow of images so you can read along as you listen. And you know, if we had a little more time, videos would be a fine option, and perhaps we'll get on that. This one might be. I think, Kyle, you actually edited that into individual panels, so you made it pretty easy this time. I was just thinking
I had a little bit of free time, so I chopped and screwed them a little bit.
So, thank you, Kyle. And, that's you could read along and hear our how we perform this comic, because we all read comics with voices in our heads. I think I do. A lot of people do.
I think we all do.
Oh, yeah.
And we're this is what
who
we're
does your
do
Spider-Man sound like?
Boris Karloff.
Yes.
Or Neil
Borat.
Patrick Harris. I think he nailed it.
Neil Patrick Borat.
Yes.
Neil Patrick Harris is pretty good. I mean, I always like Josh Keaton. Josh Keaton is my...
Yeah.
But he maybe was better as a younger Peter. So you got a point there. Either way, at least two of them are in that one video game Edge of Time. And
that's right.
It's a good time.
That's worth at least three Peter points. You save your Peter points up, and you're going to get yourself a Peter.
You can get a free enchilada at Taco Bell.
On to the story. Merc, you're the one who discovered this one.
Yes.
Yes. So I recently just, there was like a pawn shop kind of place in town, and I picked up a couple of old, we mentioned Boris Karloff already, and this is why I mentioned, I picked up these couple of issues of Boris Karloff, Tales of Mystery.
Yes, young rising star, Boris Karloff.
You know what? Like, I love these kind of books. I was always kind of iffy on them as a kid, and because when I was a kid, like in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, there was a lot of superhero stuff, but there was a lot, this is like the tail end of a lot of horror sort of influence stuff, and there was way more on the market of like these sort of bigger name horror things, like Boris Karloff and Tales of the Crypt, and I picked up another ones like Grimm's Ghost Stories and from right. Gold Key as well. So these are from Gold Key. I picked up a couple of them, issue 65 and 61, if you're so inclined to take a look. They're both so from 1975. Inclined. So inclined. We're going to do one, possibly two, depending on how we feel.
Yeah.
Don't pressure us. We'll do what we want. You're not my dad.
I like on the cover, it says, it's Boris Karloff, Tales of Mystery, but then there's like a little tiny white text on top that it says Boris Karloff again, in case you forgot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really sure why.
Is that like he has to get like credited? Like it's like Boris Karloff in Boris Karloff Tales of Mystery. Is Boris Karloff?
He wrote them all himself.
No.
And if you're gonna draw a picture of my face, make sure it's framed by an astronaut helmet.
Yeah, that one's the best.
That is pretty good.
The floating head of Boris Karloff.
So yeah, if you're unfamiliar with these comics, it is kind of like a, you know, you have the Crypt Keeper or whoever, you have your token horror narrator that comes in, and it's Boris Karloff, and they draw him, and it's always he's the narrator, and yeah, he's got a horribly drawn or very quickly drawn
mustache,
astronaut's helmet, mustache, and everything on there.
The artist couldn't draw ears.
No. He's like, let's always put a helmet on. We're going to jump into this one. This is issue number 65 from December of 75. No Thing Is My Enemy. I can only find a listing for the artist. There's John Cilardo and Wanda Ippolito. I couldn't fit. And again, like this is a time when they don't put their names on stuff.
Yeah.
There's no credit listing, so yeah. It's either George Wilson or Louis Bomagas who did the cover. And I always love these covers because these covers are always just beautiful painted covers.
Yeah.
And it's always super disappointing when you open it and you go, oh, that's not how that continues.
That's not what I thought it was going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've learned to love these sort of drawings on the inside. So yeah, let's begin. Yeah. First, I guess we need to, this particular story has a narrator, mom, son, and later on one other character pops in. So who wants to be what character? Who wants to be Boris?
Ooh. I don't want to be Boris.
No, you don't want to be Boris.
I don't want to be Boris, but I don't want to be Boris.
I'll be Boris.
You'll be Boris. That's fine. You got it.
I'll be Boris.
Force it up. I'll be mom this time.
So if you're mom, can you also be the professor doctor? Professor Doctor?
Yes. Professor Doctorson. Dr. Professorson.
Perfect.
Professor Professorson. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
I always preferred Professor Kligoris.
Oh my.
Someday we'll let you watch Community, Merc. Someday.
Yeah.
Sure.
We'll allow it.
They just.
He tries to watch it occasionally, but we
try blocked. And the signal's blocked.
Yeah, and just nosebleeds. Yep. You're just watching
little static. Cartoon Brian Kyle.
Scan me.
Every time I hit that channel, it just triggers my bladder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh God. Wrong right. channel. Okay.
Let us
so
begin.
Set the scene. There's Boris Karloff with his goofy astronaut helmet.
He's got an astronaut
Boris
helmet.
Karloff, Tales of Mystery. I don't even know how to do his voice, but I'm just going to fake it.
Got
to
do
or
it.
Or should I just do a German? Should I give him a German accent?
I think you should give him whatever goddamn voice you want to give him.
Yeah. Because like, I trust he's today, not here to dispute you. It.
Today's sophisticate set. He's totally not German, but I'm giving him a German accent.
No,
today's sophisticate says, "Yeah, he's British." So this will just anger a lot of people. No one is a stranger. Let's try that again. Today's sophisticate says, "No one is a stranger to me, but in the unpredictable interplanetary future, we may be saying, nothing is my enemy."
Nothing.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I didn't understand that introduction at all.
Read on to find out if it will ever make sense.
For Grace and Claude Harvey, mother and son, alone in the world, there are too many strangers.
Look, Mom, a shooting star. Make a wish. Only don't tell me what it is.
Thanks for the instructions, Cloud. But I...
Cloud. It's Claude. It's Cloud.
Cloud. See? Thanks. I've infected you with the German accent.
Yeah.
Thanks for the instructions, Clout. But I practically invented wishing on a falling star.
She just
that
smacks
that voice
him.
Is not sustainable and sounds terrible. I'm going to find something else.
It's going to be replaced with another mother.
Yes.
All right, yes, and so they're both wishing and both raising one of their hands for some reason, but only one. That's how you make the wish. You go like this.
And they're almost giving falling star the finger.
That's a spicy star.
Oh, it's a taste of good.
Smells so good. I don't remember
so
my voice
they're
either.
They're thinking this.
I'm thinking about
their wish.
Get Mama a new husband. She's awful lonely.
Let Cloud have a second father. He needs another man in the house.
Because the one that's in there is an asshole.
Yeah. Is he dead? Did he leave? Is he still there?
I couldn't tell you. Another?
I know. Mm-hmm.
It's like a new... It's like, is it a new one or is he like... You know,
I know it's
the old husband's
it's
still
very
there.
Unclear.
She's just lonely.
When I first started reading this, even that first narration bit, I thought it was like a post-apocalyptic thing because it says,
yeah.
"For Grace and Claude Harvey, mother and son, alone in the world." I was like, "They're alone in the world? Like they're the last people on Earth?" That's not at all what's going on. That's
the,
a dog.
The father's just not emotionally present. Is really I think what's going on here.
The father He's got there. Turned into a dog. It's a shaggy dog situation.
It's a shaggy dog. Okay.
Or a doghouse situation, but that's the uncle.
There was the falling star, but they see in the distance a huge explosion. Kraboom! And so the narrator says, "Then, as if to seal each wish, there is a roaring crash and a trembling of the ground."
That was no shooting star. It was a plane crashing, I betcha. I betcha. Oh.
Betcha. Oh, Cloud, I hope you're wrong. But little boys have a terrible nose for disaster.
I don't even know what it is anymore. I don't know who this character is.
You became
she's
like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah, she went. She went. She started smoking aggressively between panel one and now.
That's what she's doing. They just they drew the cigarettes out. Originally, yeah, they were both smoking delicious cigarettes.
The both of them were smoking. Yeah. That's totally what it looks like. Oh, yeah, that's good stuff.
Well, it
that's
says good. Boris Karloff cigarette. Twice because it used to say Lucky Strike presents Boris Karloff.
Boris Karloff, Marlboro Man of Mystery.
Things changed.
Okay, so they head over to where this whatever crashed. The site of the explosion is a good mile from the house.
It was a shooting star, a meteor.
No! If they reach the Earth without burning out, they're meteorites! Mom!
Don't correct me! Smack! This kid's just talking back a lot.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's just, you know, she was wrong.
Well, and like the this meteorite. Panel, you can see her like putting a finger up. This is where her smokes would, she, you know, this is where her cigarette would be.
That should be inserted everywhere, yeah.
I'll call the university. They'll want to see this. And you stay away from those things. They're still hot.
Sure, Ma, sure. I'll be with you in a sec. I'm just gonna touch all these rocks. Oh, so hot. Ow, ow, ow.
Then the mother's like, haven't you ever seen Creepshow? Don't touch the meteorites.
No, Ma, I only saw Creepshow 2. I didn't think it was terribly good, so I didn't want to go back and watch the first one.
Oh, you need to go see the first one. The second one just was horrible.
The first one's with the gargoyle, right? The gargoyle lady?
Stephen
King.
Yeah,
I think
so. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Anyways.
Also, the kids are gargoyles? I'm your mama.
What has caught Cloud's eye are some glittering objects that look just like...
seeds! From space, I'll betcha! I'll plant them and surprise Mom. I won the 4-H medal for the biggest pumpkin in the country. But wait till they see my space pumpkins! Ha-ha! Woo!
Blap, blap!
County. County.
I like how like they have those, like, those dashes there... there's no need for them. They're just trying to capture, like, he's getting too excited that he can't talk right. He's just...
Yeah.
It's like a kid talking. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And I'm very understaffed right now, Mrs. Harvey, but our Professor Leonard will be out here out there in a few weeks.
Fine. Meanwhile, I'll see nobody disturbs the meteorite.
And I love that panel that child looks like he's like a foot tall.
Yeah, just, I know.
I'm a little munchkin.
He's like a little Baron Zemo.
He just starts dancing.
That's where
Baron Zemo comes from.
Yeah.
Then we go to the garden the next few days later. Is it?
Oh, some days later.
Some days later in Claude's private garden.
There's my surprise! Those were seeds from that meteorite! Look how fast they grow!
Dang! Cloud! They're ugly, horrible, and that terrible stench!
It looks like pot. It looks like marijuana. Like, really bunched up close marijuana, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they could have had money.
Everything,
but,
and everything they just said just totally
out of this world.
So. Yeah.
Ew.
Oh, yeah. I'd try the space weed. I would try the mystery space weed.
Try the space weed.
I would like the Karloff space weed, please.
Yes, please. Yeah, that's going to be an actual cute name in a cannabis store anytime now, is the Karloff space weed.
Yeah.
Seized by a revulsion beyond reason, Grace begins tearing the plants from the ground.
They're horrible. Who knows what terrible disease they may carry? How could you, Clout?
Please don't kill him! Please don't kill him! Mommy?
Later, in the night...
He's got a flashlight.
This one looks like it's still alive. I'll plant it in the old greenhouse. Mom never goes in there.
Because that's where she killed my first daddy.
That's right. Richard. I miss you, Daddy.
Old daddy, new daddy, who cares?
Yeah, dad's a dad. No matter how small. Like me. Cloud. Or Cloud. There. That split should serve till it's strong enough to stand alone. Won't be long. These things grow fast.
It grows even faster than Cloud imagined. Or perhaps desired.
3 feet in 10 days. I'll have to move it soon before it goes right through the roof. Roof.
Rough?
American.
Yeah.
But soon comes sooner than seems possible.
Wowee! I'm gonna have to move it tonight. But she sure is beautiful. Wait, she sure is a beauty in an ugly sort of way.
Oh.
She has great personality.
Mm-hmm. It's that strong Karloff strain, you know? It's just so good.
The old Karloff strain, yeah. Yeah, that's a weird panel. That's a very weird panel.
Yeah, it's kind of icky. It has a, like, a smoky tendril sort of look to it.
Yeah, and his face, he looks like he's like a ventriloquist dummy now, like he's just come to life, and mm-hmm. yeah, weird.
It's got a, yeah, yeah. Well, that stem looks sick or dead. That stem looks sick or dead. Line. That stem looks sick or dead. I'll just pluck it off before it infects the rest of the plant.
With lightning swiftness, the plant shoots out a protective tendril.
Yow! Wow!
It's like R2-D2.
Yeah. Mm. The plant, it knew what I was gonna do. The plant thinks.
Now, for the first time, Claude begins to look for potential danger.
It pulled one root free, and there's another trying to get free. When it does, holy Hannah, that thing's gonna walk.
That's working well for the voice. Yep. Hurts it down.
Yeah, it hurts. Hurts a lot. But you know what? I'm a professional.
Sacrifice for your art.
Yeah.
Mom was right. That thing's too big to live. I'll get the flamethrower Mom uses to clear land. Not supposed to use it yet, but it's an emergency.
Where do they live? The Amazon? Jesus.
Flamethrower. Wow. Mom of the year, just leaving flamethrowers all over the place.
It's just a little one, because I'm just a little guy.
It's true.
He goes to get it, and as he comes, I guess, out of the barn, he awkwardly and very weirdly trips on a rake.
How did he manage to do this? How did he manage to do this?
He's got it under behind his right ankle, but in front of his left knee, and he has a face like he's out of his mind.
I am out of my mind.
I'm an extremely clumsy person, and even I don't know if I can get behind this.
Yeah, how? I know.
Well, that's why there's a sign that says don't run with flamethrowers.
Exactly. Claude.
That's why that sign's there.
Claude lights the gas torch and hurries back. Suddenly...
Yay!
Thud.
Oh my, he knocked himself clean out.
Yeah. And darkness closes it on Claude.
As the flamethrower continues to spit hot fire.
Yeah. Not luckily, not straight in his face or something.
Yeah, but, that would be... and that was total chance.
That would be like a horror comic or something. Jeez.
Yeah,
there's a coin flip from that being how this comic goes. And I mean, would it have been a better comic, a worse comic? That's for you to decide.
Yeah, I mean, we're not done yet.
True.
At that very moment, the menace that Claude finally perceived crashes loose. And so this thing crashes through the greenhouse and starts to move. It's actually like walking and it's knocking over an old-timey Roman
talking plant.
Chariot.
Yeah.
It's like a Roman chariot or something. I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. With a constant screech like the high note of a violin, which we'll insert here, the giant plant lumbers forward. Yee!
Bam!
Now, the sentient vegetable is within sight of the fallen boy, and a second menace! Powerful tendrils reach out towards the unconscious cloud. Then, with a mighty shriek, the plant flings itself into the flames, rolling first one way, then the other, to smother the brush fire.
Crackle.
But the rescue operation is not without a price.
It was a good plant.
Yeah. By dawn, the battle is won, but Savoya is lost.
It was smart, Mom. It knew I was in trouble, and it saved me. To pay me back for nursing it, I guess.
And I destroyed the others. Intelligent, sympathetic life. And I killed them all.
Well, it's the American way.
Gee, Mom, we can't blame ourselves for not understanding something like that. We're just, ignorant.
Wait, who's this dude?
That's you.
This is the professor.
No, it's... Oh, right, I'm the professor. Oh, yeah, hell yeah. Right, I forgot.
Sounds like the beginning of great wisdom. Never blame yourself. Teach yourself. Hi, I'm Herb Leonard from the university.
What an asshole. I love this guy.
We've been expecting you, Professor, but something incredible just happened. Let me tell you.
I'll start breakfast!
And he thinks to himself,
not bad for a father candidate. I can't wait for this guy to stuff my mom.
He looks like a very, he's a cool Roger Moore is what he looks like here, I think. Yeah. And he looks kind of nervous though. He doesn't know what he walked into here. I want a follow up, frankly. This deserves a sequel.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he's a plant. I mean, his name is Herb? Herb?
No.
So then, one last bit from the narrator. Scratch one friendly invasion from space, but keep your eye on one friendly invader of the heart.
Ah!
It's called heart disease.
You should watch your diet. I'm the real Boris Karloff.
And that is that.
That is that.
And that's the story of the boy and his plant friend. Friends
the boy
forever.
Karloff's space weed.
Yes, Karloff's space weed. I gotta say, if I were the plant, I don't think I would have saved her. He immediately tried to murder him. The mother,
that's true,
killed all of his family and friends. It's, you know, I don't know. It's a plant. I don't want to assume anything. I don't know how smart this plant is, but not that smart, because it could have lived.
But maybe the plant knows that the boy will grow up to do something great for plants specifically. And so he's playing, you know, the sacrifice of one to save millions of plants in the future.
Oh. And it's always
possible.
Or
maybe it was just a stupid plant. Maybe it was just a stupid, dumb plant. Big dumb asshole.
So I think we'll end it at that. We were thinking of doing two, but we're just going to do one. And,
you haven't earned it.
You son of a bitch.
Maybe
you
tell
plants,
everybody
you
know
you dumb plants,
that it's the greatest show on earth.
Speaking of not earning it, here's our Patreon. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
You know what? You can leave this episode on for your plants, so they'll be talked to throughout the day, because that, I've heard that helps plants. I've never seen any proof of it, but.
Well, I mean. Yeah. I guess if you're supposed to talk to your plant, you could just play them weird podcasts. That'll work.
And I mean, once they hear the subject matter, you know, maybe they'll learn a thing or two, and they won't make the same mistake.
And they'll save you from the elements. Yeah.
The stamen mistake.
Oh, yay, yay.
So who are we?
I'm going to go first. My name is Kyle Lees, and you can check out my stuff at thekylelees.com or just by Googling my name. That's the Kyle Lees, L-E-E-S, like multiple Lees.
And if you ever just
cool
call
stuff,
him
you
Kyle,
might like to see it.
You're in trouble, mister, because he is the
I mean, you can call me Kyle.
All right.
You can call me Kyle, or you can call me Jay. You can call me Ray J. But just don't call me for dinner.
Woo-woo.
Ah.
I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca. Merc on Facebook, Merconaut, like astronaut, like Boris Karloff with an astronaut helmet, on Instagram. There's lots of art there. There's prints, there's shirts, there's books, there's stuff.
I hear
you
also
got sketchbooks?
I have some sketchbooks, yes. I have like comic printed sketchbooks. There's a few of those. Right now, while this airs, I'll be at the tail end. We were doing Endless September with our friend Ryan Mackett, and it was like a daily Or every second day of drawing.
End, but you said it was an endless September.
I know.
An endless September.
Ah, it's ironic, isn't it? Yeah, it was all Sandman-based stuff. We were drawing those characters, so we were at the tail end of that of September. And then we're actually going to jump into another one for October, which I think is all kind of like myths and urban legends and things like that.
Ogopogo? Chupacabra?
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Neat.
The guy with the hook hand, and then the hooks on the door handle.
Yep. Uncle Jake.
Yeah, Uncle Jake.
And Uncle Buck.
Oh,
he made huge pancakes.
I hear he's got me busting my hump. Yep.
Yeah. That's what everyone says. Name's Bry Kotick. You can check out my comic at welcometohereafter.com. That's because it's called Welcome to Hereafter. And this extended break, I'm getting some ideas. I'm rethinking what I was going to do, and I'm like, oh, I think that's better. So maybe this whole thing was worth it.
Well, that's great.
Do it.
Horrible 3 years. No, wasn't worth it.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
You can also check me out.
Well, I mean, you'd rather end with something that, you'd rather end a project with an ending that you like, right?
That's true. Yeah, I think like the broad strokes are going to be the same, but I'm kind of changing how I get from here to there, and hopefully it'll work out a little more satisfying. I guess we'll see. So there's like almost 500 pages there that you can catch up on, and hopefully right in time for the ending that is coming.
And you can check all of us out, and our friend Ryan Mackett, who we mentioned earlier, at the Thunder Bay Country Market, upstairs in the Weird Work Studio booth. A Saturday from 8 until 1, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then 3:30 to 6:30 p.m., not a.m., don't show up that early, on Wednesdays.
Please, you'll be disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that, and a big thank you, as always, to KP, Kenneth Preston, Merkley, Ocean City Defender, not the game, but the musician who did
and
all
not,
the wonderful...
not Kenneth Preston Broccoli, either.
Broccoli. who did all the wonderful music and interstitial stuff for us from the beginning. He's done several versions of this as we've progressed and evolved as a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got better. But he was already perfect.
And that is the last of it, yeah.
Okay.
Until next time.
Until next time, mother...
Such language for us.
I'm here for my space weed.
Boris. You can't have it. Get out.
I'm tripping balls. Space balls.
What's space balls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there ever a space balls comic?
There was a cartoon.
Wasn't it terrible?
Probably.
Probably. Yeah.
Most probably.
I'm going to research that and find out if there was a space balls comic.
Find out if there was a Spaceballs comic next time on Zero Issues.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh.
And that's it.
And that's it. Zero Issues. But wait till they see my space pumpkins. Ha ha! Woo! Blap, blap! Oh, so high! Ow, ow, ow!